Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Bob Chitrathorn, who's the co-founder of Simplified Wealth Management. Bob, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me, Mike.
Hey, you are welcome. And I love the sound of your name because anything that is simplified, that's just what people want to hear, right? It's just like, you know, just tell me the simple facts. But before we start diving into how you serve your clients, give us a little bit of your background and what got you into the financial services industry.
Well, Mike, I've always been about numbers. I mean, I can remember back in high school, even, gathering school books from other students and then selling them to other students or other students' parents for less than what the bookstore would sell them for and, you know, kind of making a living during the summers that way. So, you know, I've always had a financial background and that type of spirit. But I think what really sticks out in my mind is I just remember when I was really young, one day my parents were fighting about finances. You know, they're not fighting, but like arguing about finances. And, you know, I had just broken this little crystal vase. And I don't think it was even crystal. It just looked cool, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, I was thinking, are they arguing about that? Like, is that expensive? And I just remember the way I felt that day. And that kind of just put a little light in my head. Like, hey, you know what? What can I do to not feel that way again? And I think that's where I started getting really good with numbers and finance. And then it just kind of turned into, well, how can I help other people do the same thing? And a lot of my clients will say to you, you know, if you ask them, hey, when I work with Bob, he literally tells us what he does for his family, what his investments are, what his life is like. So, you know, I definitely don't want to just talk the talk, but also walk the walk with everybody.
You know, I love that because so many times what we do is a manifestation of how we feel. You know, like the old Maya Angelou quote, you know, no one will forget the way you made them feel. They might forget what you said to them, but how they made you feel. And that moment in time when you're like, ugh. And, you know, statistically, finances and money and debt and how you use money is such a huge factor in relationships and marriages. And so when you can serve your clients, helping them understand and make wise financial decisions, you're helping them prevent a lot of heartache and also create a lot of positivity. So I love that that introduction. That's wonderful.
Thanks, Mike.
So you work with your clients on helping them plan for a solid retirement, you know, and whatever that involves is, you know, so customized because every person is different and every situation is different. So what is your main focus when you're talking about helping your clients with planning for retirement?
My main focus really is what is it that they want to get accomplished? And we hear this all the time, but it's you not only have to care about what they want to get accomplished, you have to try to be them, right? I try to get in their shoes and see what they're feeling, why they want to get those things done. And sometimes they want to get something accomplished that is not the best thing for them. That's just because they don't know, right? So I have to kind of be that voice of reason, like, okay, I understand how you feel, but did you ever think about things in this light, right? Because again, you just don't know what you don't know. So I'm here to be an educator as well and guide them through that process.
That's a huge point because especially when you are the type of advisor where they realize that if you're recommending this strategy over that strategy, it doesn't matter to you. I'm just trying to lay it out and give you some options. And they realize that, then they can take that piece of advice and education and go, ooh, that's a great point, Bob. So that's really cool. So when you're thinking about retirement savings, and you know, that's the word legacy comes to my mind, but can you pass retirement savings or legacy onto your family or kids without paying taxes or at the least possible way? How does that work?
Yeah, Mike, great question. You know, without paying taxes, you know, that's an absolute. So I try to stay away from the absolute in this industry, right? But you know, there's many different things you can do to be tax efficient. You know, one of the basic things is naming your beneficiaries. You know, after you die, most retirement accounts like 401ks and traditional and Roth IRAs are treated a little differently from conventional assets, okay? Bank accounts and property tend to go through a process called probate if you don't have a living trust done, right, where the government gets involved, attorneys get involved, it gets expensive. Well, if you officially name a beneficiary for your retirement accounts, they don't have to go through the court process called probate. The heirs receive the accounts itself, including any tax advantages it has over cash right away. But again, if you don't name a beneficiary, they lose that tax perk that comes with the retirement plan.
Yeah.
And then the court kind of, you know, cashes out your savings, divvies up the balance between your children. So you lose a lot of tax benefits. So again, naming your beneficiary is definitely one of the more simple but important things to get done.
Well, we don't have the time or expertise to get into the weeds of probate and all that, but I do know that every state is different, and that the word probate, you should have an equal sign after that to go expensive and time consuming. So if you could do anything to reduce that cost and make it quicker and easier, like naming a beneficiary, that sounds pretty simple, you know, and it's like they say, I love quotes, but what is simple to do is also simple not to do. Well, it's simple not to name that beneficiary, but this might be a writer downer for someone listening to this. Check your accounts and make sure you've got beneficiaries named on them, because that will do a huge favor for them themselves.
Exactly, Mike. Exactly. I come across so many clients that think they have someone named as a beneficiary on their 401k plans through work. And when I do a review of their plan or statements, I show them it says beneficiary zero. Like, oof, there's no one's name there. And that could be extremely costly, because you don't want things to go, you know, into a probate process, especially, if you don't have a living trust, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah. Well, before you can think about passing retirement savings on to kids or family or legacy planning, things like that, you need to build up and grow savings and investments. So talk a little bit about growing your savings and investments with the focus on being tax efficient. Because again, I love thinking about this topic as like a bucket, and we got holes in the bucket, which is like maybe, you know, expenses or taxes. You can't plug them all the way up. Like you said, the absolute, you can't always or never, but if you can be tax efficient, that's a really important focus to keep in mind, right?
Exactly. And there's lots of different ways that you can be tax efficient. You know, there's tax efficient now and there's tax efficient later. We won't get into the weeds of that. You know, we can always talk more about that later, but some of the simple ways to be tax efficient is, you know, just putting money into your pension plan. If you have a pension plan, you know, your money is coming from your gross pay. So that means that the money you put into your pension plan is not being taxed. So, you know, let's say you make $1,000, you put $1,000 into your pension. Well, you're not getting taxed on that $1,000. So that's a good way of taking advantage of being tax efficient and also funding money for your future retirement.
Now, this pension plan you speak of, does that even exist these days anymore? or do you mean like 401k kind of a thing?
They do still exist here and there, but you can also kind of apply the same logic to a 401k or a 403b or 457. You know, typically any type of work retirement plan, you can apply the same logic as well. And then another thing to keep in mind is, you know, another way to be overall tax efficient is also to diversify your accounts. What I mean by that is, we just talked about 401ks and those type of accounts that goes in pre-tax. Right. Well, there's other accounts that have different tax treatments, some that will actually give you tax free money later, such as a Roth IRA. Yeah. So in regards to Roth IRA, you don't have these tax breaks now, but the money is going to continue to grow. You don't pay taxes on the growth. And then when you take the money out, you're getting tax free withdrawal at that point in time, assuming you follow, you know, the rules in and outs of doing that correctly. Again, which we don't want to get into the weeds on that, but they're pretty simple.
Yep. And balance and diversity is key, because with certain products like a Roth, that's wonderful. But yet you can't put in hundreds of trillions of dollars a year into that, because there's limits. So talk to your financial professional about limits, but definitely have the box checked where it's like, okay, if this applies and is beneficial to me, maybe I should have some diversity in this type of account and in that kind of account. And like you said, you can be tax efficient now and tax efficient later, like what you just described there. And you need to have that balance. One of my favorite words is balance, because if you have too much in one bucket or too much in another, well, that's going to throw some things out of whack. So I really like that example that you just gave.
Yeah. It's also about being efficient too, because there's certain things that people don't even think about. Let's not even get into investing, quote unquote, right? Let's just talk about things you already do now. Let me ask you, Mike, Do you ever go to the dentist or a doctor ever?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, well, think about this. You just got paid, let's just say you got paid $100, right, from whatever, and now you pay your taxes. So we all understand that now you have less than $100, right, after you pay your taxes. Well, now you take whatever you have left over and you go to your dentist or you go to your doctor's office for whatever you need to do. Well, there's things out there called health savings account that can actually help you save on your taxes. You can contribute into these things on a pre-tax basis. And then you can also use those funds if they qualify. Again, there's lots of different rules and qualifications, but you can use those dollars that you didn't get taxed on to pay for things such as, you know, going to the dentist or going to the doctor or, you know, sometimes buying Band-Aids or contact solutions. So it's one of those things, if you know you're going to spend that money on that kind of stuff anyway, you might want to look into that. You know, it's a good way to save money on taxes on things you're already doing. It's
you know,
being a little bit more efficient.
That's a huge, 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 mindset to have people to take note of. If we put a pin in that right there, this is not learn some new tactic and new thing and go out and do this new thing. And now it's like, what are you already doing? And how can you do it better, more efficiently that benefits you financially? Well, that's a perfect example. And I think that so many people don't think about things like that. And is that health savings account 100% beneficial to every single person out there? I'll bet not. But if you could talk to someone like Bob and go, hey, would this benefit me? And you ask the certain questions and you verify and clarify with them and for them, then sometimes it could be a benefit and sometimes not, but you don't know. But I love the idea about what are you currently doing now? That's a huge point.
Well, it's simplified wealth management, right? It's in the name. And
yeah,
the fact that,
right.
Hey, there's so much planning. What holds everybody back are obstacles, big obstacles. Oh, I should do this, but the plan is going to cost money. It's going to do homework. It's going to be this. It's like training for a marathon. I want to run a marathon, but I don't want to do all the work of training, right? Well, here's what I do. Let's just look for things that we can make efficient now. What are you already doing? And the natural progression will be to get into, you know, overall financial planning. But it doesn't have to be a big hurdle. You know, again, something as simple as, hey, let's look at a health savings account, or hey, let's let you know the difference between a traditional IRA or a Roth IRA. It doesn't have to be hard. It can be simple and still be beneficial to you.
Yes. Yeah. Keeping it simple. And that one of my favorite books in marketing and business is Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller. And he says, when you confuse, you lose. So let's keep it simple. And I love that. So let's, we're in the mindset here of being efficient and tax efficient. I know a lot of people are, you know, you hear the headlines about, you know, this, you know, rich guy or gal or company, they just pretty much don't pay any in taxes. So how do the top people out there pay so little in taxes? How do, you know, I'm certain that there's some explanation, and there's not, you know, we don't have time for the details, but what's the 30,000 foot view of that?
Yeah, the quick view. Well, first of all, disclaimer, always talk to a tax professional, right?
Yeah.
But in how, you know, the wealthy or extremely wealthy kind of minimize their taxes is a couple of different avenues. One of them, you know, not everybody wants to give charitable donations, but giving money to nonprofit organizations has been a way for the wealthy to get a deduction on their taxes. And under the new tax law, the amount you can deduct has increased roughly to about 60% of your adjusted gross income, up from 50%. So one way the rich have been taking advantage of the deduction is creating conservation easements, right? And that, again, that's getting into the weeds. Let's not go too deep into that rabbit hole. But there's lots of things you can do in regards to, you know, doing charitable deductions and using your efficiency to help you maximize your tax liability, right? Because, again, you get a deduction. And in order to have your deductions, you do have to itemize. But there's lots of different ways of doing that. And, you know, again, always talk to a tax professional or financial advisor in regards to that. But something that I think can relate a little bit more or make a little bit more sense, because not everybody wants to give away money, right? And let's face it, if you're giving away money, you're pretty wealthy. Most people just don't, unless that's just part of, you know, your natural train of thought. But another way of how the wealthy kind of minimize their taxes is they manage their assets like a business, right? So one way to save on taxes is to create a structure. Right now, everybody talks about creating a business and whatnot. You don't have to necessarily create an LLC, but it's always great to make sure that you manage your assets like a business. And when you do that, it opens up the doors to allow you to get access to different deductions or write-offs that you may not have access to before. And again, always talk to your tax professional about these things before, you know, going any further. But that's another way in which they minimize their taxes. And then you talk about estate and gift exemptions. Most of the wealthy will have, you know, a living trust done. You know, they're trying to bypass probate, which we already talked about is expensive. So that in itself, when one person has a living trust and bypasses probate, any amount that they save is more money for the legacy, right?
Yeah. It kind of gets back to that
legacy has more money.
With holes, an example. You know, you
exactly. Yeah, yes. The holes are filled, and so now now they're filling up the bucket with more dirt each time. Now it might take four generations until this bucket is full, and you might consider them extremely wealthy, but it all starts somewhere. So if you're not going to be that person, well, don't be the person that doesn't allow your generations to become that person.
You know, it's like the example about, hey, it's a really, really hot day, and I sure wish I could be sitting out here under the nice shade tree. Boy, there's no trees around, so I wish someone had planted one 30 years ago. Well, what's the next best time to plant one? Right now. You know, so it might take a while to grow or to have some of these strategies to pay off and pan out, but it's all about balance. It's all about time and patience, and when something doesn't work, you know, gangbusters in 2 seconds. Too many people are like, well, we got to change the – you didn't give it enough time to do its job and to work. So I think these are just really logical ways that you need to approach your money. I mean, I'm really resonating with what you're saying here.
It's being efficient. Again, let's just do what you're already doing, what's already there, and let's just see what we can do to make it more efficient before getting into some detailed plans that will take you to the next level. Or potentially could take you to the next level, but it just keep things simple and be efficient from what you're already doing.
100%. Well, I know that we don't want to, you know, speak about legal matters like probate or tax matters, but what are some of the ways that people can be thinking from a 30,000 foot view on filing taxes to make sure that their net worth and cash flow are really optimized the best way?
Well, there's ways in such as, again, let's just go back to what people kind of are already doing, and let's just focus on making those things a little bit more efficient. You know, one of the things you guys can, everybody can do is when you're saving for college, you know, figure out the best way to save for college. You may not be able to save on your federal taxes, but for some states, if you use a state college plan or a 529 plan for that state, you may have, you know, some tax efficiencies there that you might be missing out if you're not talking with your tax professional, right? So all these little things help with your cash flow. You know, again, I don't want to get too deep into taxes, but when it comes to your cash flow, you want to be organized. You want to make sure that you're staying on top of deadlines. You know, I actually saw this on the news the other day, and the person mentioned that, you know, the tax deadline really isn't a deadline, but you'll have penalties if you don't do it by the deadline. Well, I guess that means the word deadline is very subjective. Right.
Yeah.
But you want to stay organized, stay on top of your deadlines, because if you are going to pay something anyway, and you can do it today and it costs you X, but if you wait 5 days from now and it costs you X plus $10, well, why not do it today?
Yep.
Right. And that's just being organized. So, you know, it being tax time right now, I always tell people, you know, stay organized, consider creating a small business if you don't have one already. Some people make extra income on the side from hobbies, and they can literally get some benefits if they were to turn their hobby into a small business. Again, talk to your tax person about this, but that's just some easy, simple ways in which you can, you know, become a little bit more efficient. What you also want to do along those lines is you want to keep your personal and your business income separate. So many people out there kind of commingle, right? And anybody who knows a business owner knows that a lot of stuff is probably commingled, but it's really better as a practice to keep your personal and your business income separate. If you work for yourself, you know, it's just easy to meld everything together.
Yep.
But you don't want to do that.
You don't want the IRS coming out going, hold up here. So yeah, commingling, keep it nice and tight. You know, I love on your website when you talk about how you serve your clients as a collaborative approach with personal guidance resulting in lasting relationships. You know, and it really, that collaborative makes me think this is not someone going, oh, Bob, you told me to do this and I have no say so. It's collaborative. So you need to, you know, understand what your clients need, and every single client is going to be different, right? I mean, that's the only way you can give that personal guidance.
Exactly. And what I tell all my clients before we become, you know, a client and advisor relationship is, you know, you got to talk to people. You got to interview people. It's almost like getting married, right? You don't want to have a divorce 2 years down the road. It doesn't help anybody. And it definitely doesn't help the client by any means, right? Because now they get this bitter taste of, you know, quote unquote, this type of financial advisor, and they could be sitting next to the best financial advisor ever, but now they're just too afraid because of the bad taste or the bad experience they had. So if you've never worked with anybody before, it's really important to talk to a couple different advisors and, you know, make sure your personalities match well. Because if you get three different advisors and they're all great advisors, they're not all going to be perfect for you because their personalities can be completely different. So they got to match your personality too.
Yeah, 100%. And here's the thing too, which kind of leads to lasting relationships, because the worst thing in the world is to feel pressured or pushed to do something I don't understand or don't want to do. Well, then that guidance is not personalized, and then I don't want to have a long-term relationship with someone like that. So when all of those things play nicely together and there's that balance, then the clients feel confident and comfortable to keep that relationship with you. So I think that it's so neat that you've got those in that correct order. You know, it's like we collaborate together, we do what's best for you, give you some personalized guidance, and then that should, when all things, you know, are working together, that should result in lasting relationships. So I always love when I talk to people that go, you know, I've got clients that I've worked with for years and years and even into the decades.
It's all about relationships. I've been doing this for a little over 17 years now as a financial advisor. You know, I got my BS in finance and my BS in real estate. I chose to go the financial route because I just, you know, like that type of relationship, personal relationship, on a more, you know, consistent basis, right? Not so many people buy houses all the time, but people always need help with their finances, whether it's because they had a newborn or, you know, their kid's ready to go to college or they're saving for retirement, whatever it is. And so that's why I got into the profession that I do. And, you know, I keep things very simple that every time I talk to somebody, I'm not trying to make them a client. Here's what I try to do, Mike. I try to see what can I do today so that when I get off the phone with this individual, no matter whether we ever work together or not, they walk away feeling that it was not a waste of their time for that 3-minute phone call, that 5-minute phone call, that 10-minute phone call, because they got enough value out of it that they know it's valuable to them. That's my goal with everybody I speak with. And if it leads to us working together, great. But again, this is my passion, right? And I talk to so many people I don't work with and give them valuable information because I'm not here trying to make everybody a client of mine. I'm here trying to give out enough good information so that everybody can make the world better together. And we all
know it now. It really is. You know, it reminds me of, I know you're a big book reader. Have you ever read the book, The Go-Giver by Bob Berg?
I have. It's not the go-getter, it's the go-giver.
I know. Right. You're exactly right. And I've interviewed Bob a couple times on my podcast, and he's such a wonderful man, but the message is so strong because when you do it the right way and you're giving and serving and providing value, well, then if there's a fit, there's a fit. If there's not, I don't want to work with you for whatever the reason is. And it might just be whatever, it might just be non-essential. But the point is, what you just laid out there is you're not trying to fit that square peg in a round hole and make everybody you speak to your client. Well, then now you feel like you've got commission breath and that you're the used car salesman, you know, quote unquote. So when you can serve and give value and people can resonate with that, boy, maybe the relationship moves a step forward, and that's when you have success. That's when people know you, like you, and trust you.
Yeah, exactly. But again, at the end of the day, I'm not trying to get all that. I'm just trying to keep it simple. I'm just trying to get good information out there.
Just like the name says, your company is Simplified Wealth Management. So I love it, Bob. I love your approach to how you serve your clients and create relationships. If someone is interested in learning more or connecting with you, what's the best way they can reach out and learn more about your services?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think the easiest way is just to go to my website, www.planwithbob.com. You can also email me at bob@simplifiedwealth.com, but just go to the website. You'll find all my information there. You know, don't hesitate to give me a call. If you just have a random question and you know that it's not any type of question that's going to make us have a lasting relationship, that's okay. As long as I can provide some sort of information that you find valuable, I'm okay with that.
Excellent. Well, Bob, I love it. Thank you so much for coming on today. It was a real pleasure talking with you.
Thank you, Mike. Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.